Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
So last week we began a series called The Why Behind the Worship. Can you say that with me?
The Why.
The Why Behind the Worship. All right. So we're talking about why do we worship? There are some people, you know, that are loud when they worship. Some people are quiet. Some people are somewhere in between. Some people are singing. Some people are dancing. And you ask yourself sometimes, why do we do all of this? Is it just religious? Is it just preference? And so we began this question of the why behind the worship. If you missed the message last week, it was powerful. You can go back and listen to that on the podcast. We talked about how heaven is held in a constant state of worship. The seraphim, the elders, the angels continuously worshiping around the throne, and that worship emanates throughout all of heaven. Then we ask this question, really important, if we want to spend eternity in heaven, shouldn't we practice and participate in the things of heaven even now? If the worship and honor of God are central to heaven, it should be central to us. If our heart's desire and ambition are to be with God in heaven for eternity, why not practice heaven in our lives right now? So that's a real challenge for us, right? In a busy world, to pause, to make time for things that are meaningful and eternal, like this worship, the gift of worship. So we'll start right here again in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name." I was thinking about how powerful a key is. I don't know if you can see this key. But a key exists for one reason, and that reason is to give you access. When you see a key, you're probably wondering, well, what type of access is this key going to give me? What door is this key going to unlock for me? Because every key is designed to give you access to something. So I want to talk to you today about how worship gives us access. Worship gives us access. Worship is like a key. Because it gives us access to heaven. David said, this is how you enter in. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. This worship is a key, and it gives you access. When I worship, I gain access to his gates. When I worship, I gain access to his courts. His gates, of course, represent the gates of heaven, eternal life, God's very presence. The courts represent when we're approaching him as our king or our judge, and the judge that brings justice to the world. David's power, and we talk a lot about David when we talk about worship, David's power came from the access that he had to heaven that his worship unlocked. So he had worship, and it was unlocking access to heaven. This is one of the things that made David so powerful. He had worship as a key that gave him access to the things of heaven. Worship gives us access to the things of heaven. Scripture tells us that God is enthroned on the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. "But you are holy, O you who are enthroned, the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered." So when we worship, we're pulling God into our reality, and we're stepping into his reality. When we worship, we're causing it to be on earth as it is in heaven. You remember the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. When we worship, we're causing earth to be a little bit more like heaven. We're connecting the two. We're pulling God into our reality, and we're stepping into his. When we worship, we're gaining access to his throne. Now, what happens in a throne room? I'll tell you, one of the things that happens in a throne room is judgments are rendered. There was a book that was recently written called The Courts of Heaven. One of the ways that we gain access to heaven's courts, David tells us we enter his courts with what?
Praise.
Praise. So this is an access point. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. This is important for us to understand in a world that there's many injustices, right? When we worship, we're gaining access to his justice. Somebody say his justice. When we worship, we gain access to his justice. We enter his courts with what? When we're in his courts, we have access to his justice. Romans 12:19 says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. God is the ultimate righteous judge, and worship gives us access to the courts of the Lord. Worship positions us in a place to bring our case before the Lord of whatever the enemy has stolen, whatever the enemy has broken. Our peace, our finances, our family. When we worship, we gain access to his justice. Does that sound good to you so far? This key, this worship, gives us access to his justice. How many like justice? I don't know about you, but I like for things to be fair. I like for things to be just. How many have experienced some injustice in your life? So here's something to understand about God. God is the perfect judge. The Bible describes him as his throne is established in what? Righteousness and justice. That's a powerful image for us to understand. He gets it right every time. He judges fairly every time. Every verdict he renders is perfect. Can you receive that today? Every verdict he renders is perfect. The Bible says in Psalm 9, 7 and 8, but the Lord reigns forever, executing judgment from his throne. He will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with
fairness.
Oh man, every verdict that he gives is perfect. We know on earth we try to do the best that we can. Judges try to do the best they can. Some judges are not doing really good. But the judge of all mankind, the judge of the universe, the judge of all, he rules the nations in fairness. He judges the world with justice. He's fair, he's just, he's perfect. And when we worship, we are bringing our case before him. I like the idea of coming before a fair judge. I love coming before a judge that wants to rule in my favor.
Correct.
Psalm 103, this is what David says. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord.
Yeah.
With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Can I just take a pause right here and just say, a lot of times, see, we're not understanding the why behind the worship, because you see somebody worshiping, you see somebody, you say, why is that person worshiping like that? Because they understand the access that it gives you to the presence of God, to the courts of heaven, right? It gives you access to the miraculous power of God. So when we're worshiping, David says this, let all that I am praise the Lord. He was a king, and he understood how to gain access. He said, with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all of my sins and heals all of my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. David leveraged his revelation of worship to access the blessings of the kingdom.
Right.
He leveraged his revelation. So the Bible, if you read it and you read the teachings of Christ, And you're going to find a lot of this, especially in Matthew, but throughout all the Gospels. Jesus does not condemn us for using the revelation the right way, but he rewards us, right? To him who has been given, who stewards well, more will be given, right? To him who's not using, even what he has is going to be taken away. So how do you steward the revelation? David leveraged the revelation of worship to access the blessings of the kingdom, to access the things of heaven. So he was using the revelation, the understanding that he got in worship, to further have access. When we set a rhythm of worship in our life, we will see cycles of blessing in every season. David's worship gave him access to forgiveness, to healing, to redemption, to renewal, because God gave him good things. David was led right back to worship. As soon as he worshiped, God would give him something, right? Out of the abundance, God is a good God. Every good and perfect thing comes down from heaven, coming from the Father of light. So when he would worship, God would give him something, and he would lead him right back to a place of worship and praise again. And so he had a rhythm and a cycle in his life that was continuous. Because God gave him good things, David was led back to the place of worship. We can access the same cycle in our lives right now through worship. And that's what heaven is like, really. An endless cycle of worship and blessings. Worship and blessings. Worship and blessing that never ends, because everybody there has a revelation of worship. And they're walking in the revelation of worship. So they worship and God reciprocates. And they worship and God reciprocates. And they worship and God reciprocates. And it becomes a cycle that never ends. David lived in a rhythm, in a cycle of worship and blessing. How many would like to live in a cycle of worship and blessing? Some people say, well, Pastor Josh, you look so young. Worship and blessing. Worship. Worship and blessing. Pastor Josh, how do you still move like that at 46? Worship and blessing. Worship and blessing. God wants us to establish these cycles, these spiritual cycles in our life. Instead of debt and disappointment, instead of heartache and pain, worship and blessing. Worship and blessing. What a beautiful cycle. It's heavenly. So we sow worship, we reap blessing, and this cycle becomes like seasons in our life. And I want to tell you, if you work the cycle will work. It's a spiritual principle. Just like anything else, the world is founded upon spiritual principles from the mouth of God. Spiritual principles. God in the beginning, what? He created spiritual principles and natural principles to govern the earth. These spiritual principles are just as real as the law of gravity. Of the law of motion, right? And so, it's a cycle. You will have access to the things of heaven time after time. When you sow worship, you will reap blessing. Sow worship, reap blessing. And this is such a powerful truth. Psalm 103, verse 1. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his name. David said it a little differently here in Psalm 86:11. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Or the New Living Translation, grant me purity of heart that I may honor you. David wanted God to be his central focus, the thing that consumed his attention. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. That was also David. So David worshiped God with all of his heart because he honored him. David worshiped God with all of his heart because it gave him access to the things of heaven. There are things in the kingdom of heaven that God wants to give us, but we must learn to unlock them. Right. Worship is one of those keys that unlocks things for us in heaven. An undivided heart is in worship, unlocks things. access to God. Having access to heaven does not upset God, it pleases God. Jesus said, seek and you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open to you. Right? It pleases God. God wants to give us good things. That's why he put Adam and Eve in the garden, in Eden, in paradise. Because God is about good things. He's about giving good things to his sons and daughters. He wants to bless us. How many believe he wants to bless you? If you don't believe he wants to bless you, you've been taught bad theology. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. If there's any good thing to think on these things. And worship is a key that unlocks the blessings that God has prepared for us. When we have an undivided heart in worship, we start to see more of what God wants to give to us. When we have an undivided heart in worship, we start to see more of what God wants to pour into us. God sees David with an undivided heart and says, he gets it. He gets it. When he sees us with an undivided heart, he says, she gets it. He gets it. She gets it. He gets it. An undivided heart gives access. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and you must love the Lord with what?
All
your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Moses said, this is what God wants. David said, this is what God wants. And when you have this, you have access like you have never imagined. So the question is, do you want more of God? Do you want more of heaven? If you want more of God, give him more of you. Do you want more of God?
Yes.
Surrender your heart to him and you will find access like you have never seen before. The surrendered heart has access. Look at Jesus' unfettered access to heaven. It came from a fully surrendered heart, from a position of honor and worship before God. James said in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Jeremiah said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. David understood that access to God's presence means access to God's good plans. You can't get in the presence of God and some good stuff not get on you. This is what some people don't understand, and if they understood it, they'd be the first one dancing. They'd be the first one singing if they understood the access worship gives you. David wasn't a fool. He had a revelation. When David was dancing through Jerusalem, he wasn't a fool. He had a revelation that there was access to God and access to the things of God, access to the kingdom of heaven through worship. Jesus repeatedly taught that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's closer than you think. It's closer than you can imagine. The things of heaven are within our grasp. This is the words of Jesus. It's close. Heaven is close. You can have access to it. You can access healing and peace and joy and abundance right now. One of the major access points that we have to heaven's inventory is worship. One of the major access points. You ask yourself, well, why do we do worship like we do? Why do we do so much worship here? Why are we so intense about worship? Because worship gives you access. If you can just take a break from your worries, take a break from all the things you're concerned about, take a break from all your anxieties and just worship, you're going to have access to some next level solutions, some next level miracles, some next level power. If you can set aside time, focus your mind, still your mind, and worship. There's an access point to heaven through worship, but we have to choose to walk through it. The enemy's going to throw obstacles in your way. He's going to throw distractions, phone notifications, scheduling conflicts, all kind of things he can muster up, but we have to learn to focus our minds, to set aside sacred time alone and corporately to worship. Both private and corporate worship matter. They both add richness. They both give different access points to the things of God. So here's an important question. How much access do you want? God is leaving it up to us. How much access do you want?
Right.
He provided a way. He provided a key. How much access to heaven do you want? It's crazy that we'll celebrate and we'll dance around the room for a sports team with no eternal consequence, but we hold back when we worship. Think about that for a second. Do we celebrate athletes and celebrities more than the King of Kings? Can I tell you, when all is said and done and you die and you're given an accounting for all of the stuff that we did here, guess what? That stuff won't matter. Are we loud for sports and quiet on the God who created everything? The choice is ours. Who and what we'll celebrate. You can celebrate a sports team. That's great. But at the end, have you accomplished anything? Have you gotten access to anything? Has it improved your life?
Right.
Has it leveled up any part of your life? But when you worship the King of Kings, it unlocks healing, freedom, abundance, peace, joy. Heaven's inventory are available when we worship. What or who will you worship? Choice is ours. But Jude had a great perspective on this. He said, all should be given to God. As Jude 25, all glory to Him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are His before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. He deserves it all. Before, during, after, it all belongs to Him. So worship is an act of honor, but it's also an access point to heaven. David modeled a lifestyle of worship that unlocked forgiveness and healing and redemption and blessing. An undivided heart opens the door for unlimited access to God's presence. The choice to worship is ours. How much access do we want? God put us here on this earth with free choice. We can choose to worship. We can choose to not worship. We could choose to worship something else. We could choose to celebrate God. We could choose to celebrate something else. We could choose to honor God. We could choose to honor something else. But I want to tell you, every good and perfect thing comes from God. If I am going to choose to shower my time, my energy, my enthusiasm, first and foremost, it's going to be on God. Because I love Him and I honor Him above all. and I also understand the benefits. One of the benefits is I get access to heaven. I get access to healing. I have access to redemption. I have access when I honor Him and I worship Him. There's salvation there, right?
Right.
Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. How do we, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, it's an act of worship. I believe in my heart, confess with my heart that Jesus is Lord, I'll be saved, right? Salvation is an act of, it's connected to our worship. I worship Him. This concept of worship, it's all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout heaven. And it's all throughout, it's available to us to access greater things from God. Will you bow your heads today? God, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship. Number one, because you're worthy. You deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. You deserve the thanksgiving. But also we worship because we know you have made some promises that as we worship, there's access. There's blessing. There's enrichment that you want to bring into our lives. God, let us see how that we can better worship you in our lives, in our private life, in our public life, everything in between. God, we want to be worshipers. Jesus, you said there's a time coming and has now come that I'm looking for worshipers. The Father's looking for worshipers, true worshipers, worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. God, let us be some of those worshipers. Let us be counted among the worshipers. God, we know if we practice well here, we're going to do well there in heaven. If we really are interested in the things of heaven and being in heaven with you, let us practice that state of mind now. Let us practice that state of heart now. That I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to fit right in heaven. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm already moving with the rhythm of heaven. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God, let us see it. Let us have a higher revelation of worship. God, because we want to connect with you. We want to love on you. We want to honor you. We want to have access to the things, God, that you've already prepared for us, that you want to give us. God, let us enter your gates with thanksgiving. Let us come into your courts with praise. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've kind of drifted a little bit, but I want to reconnect with him today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today, right where you are. Amen. Amen. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really connected with God like that. I've been around religious things. I've been around church, but I've never said yes to Jesus like that. Yes, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to follow you. I want to surrender to you. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. Amen. Either one of those. And if you slipped up your hand, I want to pray this prayer. If you'll pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this, you can pray with this too. Jesus, thank you for your love, for dying on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry. Apply the perfect work that you did on the cross to my life. Give me a second chance. I want to follow your example. I want my life to honor you. I want to live my life in worship of you. Teach me how to do that. Teach me how to live a life that honors you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.